views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you tune in to the vibrant, powerful person you're meant to be so that you can create a life you love, and by doing so, help the whole planet shift to a more peaceful and loving way of being. My guest today is Stacey Brookman, and she is a resilience and life storytelling expert. Now, Stacey has a rather heart-wrenching personal story of emotional abuse that really pushed her to figure out what she could do to take back her power and with it, her life. Today, Stacey helps smart, outwardly confident women who secretly have self-esteem issues take back control and begin to develop the resilience they need to be themselves again. Now, our talk today is focused on real life resilience, recognizing and recovering from emotional abuse. And Stacey is going to share how to use your past to make your future self wiser, joyful, and more resilient. Now, I've also asked her to share some of her story and to be very honest and open with us. So be forewarned that her story may be a bit unsettling for you, or even if you have other little ears nearby. So be prepared to push the pause and or grab your earbuds if you feel that might be a concern. So with all that said, Stacey, welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
Debbie, thank you so much for inviting me on. I'm really excited to share this story.
Oh, I'm very happy to have you here. So why don't we start with you sharing a bit of your story prior to reconnecting with your resiliency and taking back your power? Like, can you tell us what life was like for you then?
Sure. I, of course, learned about resiliency the hard way and went through the School of Hard Knocks, as some of us do. And I was actually married to a sociopath a while back. And in the meantime, I thought it was a hard marriage. I thought it was a tough marriage, but I grew up thinking, okay, you tough it out. You do it for the kids. Nothing so bad that you can't reconcile and do things. But I had no idea that this person was a sociopath. I just thought it was real difficult relationship. And ultimately, I discovered that he was advertising himself on Craigslist as a sex toy for other couples. So
resourceful, if nothing else.
Yes. I could not have been more shocked. I was, like I said, it was a difficult marriage. He was very verbally and emotionally abusive, although I didn't realize those words at that time either. I just thought he was difficult. And I really started seeing the very dark side of a sociopath once we were getting divorced. He cut the wires on the heater in the house that I was living in and with my kids and called Child Protective Services. He put a bug in my car and was listening to my conversations. There are a whole host of crazy, crazy, crazy stories. And it's just sometimes people who have normal lives can't relate because they're like, it's just something like you would see on a Lifetime movie, right? A Hallmark movie.
Yes.
And so in the middle of that really, really tough time, you're stressed out. I mean, it was stressful getting divorced anyway, but divorcing somebody who is out to get you. In fact, at one point he said, I'm going to take the kids. I'm going to take the house. I am going to take your job. I am going to take you down. And he was spitting. And I honestly believed him. And just your brain is in a lot of chaos. I mean, stress turns off and turns on some of the levers in your brain that causes you to not make the best choices. And just your limbic system is all awry. And it's just, you're in a lot of fog. So one of the things I did was I took a memoir class.
Okay, but before we get into that, because I do definitely want to go there, but okay. I'm thinking that we might have some listeners. First of all, some might be going, okay, what's a sociopath? I mean, they're getting an idea from what you said, but can you give a nice little concise
description
of what that means?
Yes, a sociopath is someone who has no conscience and does not truly love or care for or feel for another human being. Now, they can mimic human beings very, very well. In fact, mine had, big crocodile tears, when he thought about his kids, being separated from his kids, but he really did. They were just tools for him. So if you have anybody who typically, one of the first things is they get you to feel sorry for them. So if you ever meet somebody and they have a really sad story and, that starts that nurturing aspect of us, oh, you poor thing. And then they start to fly under the radar. Like mine claimed that he was a medical doctor and he had never been to college at all.
Oh my gosh. Lying.
Lying. If you're with them, a lot of times people are like, okay, maybe I misheard that, or poor thing. Maybe he's just bragging a little bit. He really, but they fly under the radar so much and people excuse what they do because they either feel sorry for them or think they're okay. Yeah, whatever. Or maybe they think they misheard or they don't want to call them out on what you really went to Harvard. Are you kidding me? And then what are you doing here being a janitor?
Well, and at that point, often in the relationship, you don't feel comfortable calling another person out.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. They play on that. And what they do is they will hook you in and get you dependent on them. They also, they almost all go from the same playbook. They alienate you from your friends and your family, your support system. Mm-hmm. That's one of the hallmarks. And then they play this love hate game where, oh, I need you. They do a love bombing. Oh my gosh, they love every movie that you've loved. They've read the same books. Not really. They do, everything to be you're the ideal partner for them. And then as soon as you get married or you're hooked in there, then they quit their job and they hate you. They're like, why are you questioning me? Why are you doing this? Don't you love me? And they do this mercurial back and forth to keep you off of your stance and out of balance. And you're constantly wondering, okay, what was it me? You start questioning yourself. Did I hear that? No, I really didn't mean to be insulting.
You're walking on eggshells the whole time.
Yes, walking on eggshells.
Yeah. Yes. So I just want to differentiate for people. I want people to understand that what you're describing is an abusive relationship.
Yes.
And one of the key pieces there, and I love that you brought this up, is that it happens slowly, and that's how you get into it. So I always tell people the very first warning bell is anytime you meet someone new or anybody, and they right away start to feel sorry for them. If you truly feel sorry for them, if you're feeling sympathy for them, you're not the right partner for them anyway, even if they're not abusive, because we don't help anyone by feeling sorry for them. So that's kind of the first little bell. And I love that you shared all of that, because I want people to understand not all abusive people are sociopaths, but certainly these are all pieces that tie together into an abusive relationship. So I think we could probably talk about that the whole time. However, you did something really amazing. And I think you even said to me, you kind of did it by accident. So why don't we talk about what you did, what happened that actually got you thinking, oh my gosh, there's something wrong with this relationship.
Right. Are you talking about the writing class?
Yes.
Okay. Was there something else?
Yeah. No, you had mentioned to me that you took this memoir course and it really opened your eyes. So.
Right. Well, I was in the midst of this chaos and divorcing somebody who was really out to get me. I mean, he was stealing behind my back. I mean, everything out of the house that was of value, he stole. He stole my children, all the kids' pictures, everything. And then he would put like one picture every couple of days on the kitchen counter, one of those little bitty, you know, miniature ones, just to let me know he had all that.
Right.
And
mind games like crazy.
And so a lot of chaos. And for my birthday, my mom and dad gave me some money. And normally I would use it to pay bills or, you know, do something for the family or whatever. I used it on myself. I went to a memoir and life story class, and it was the best money I have ever spent for my sanity. I'm just telling you, that is bar none. Nice. I went to this class and it was, you know, I don't know what inspired me to go to the class. I just thought, hey, that would be interesting and a break from the stuff that I was going through. I had a full-time job, a professional job, but in the meantime, I was having to, in the morning, go to a grocery store to wash my face and wash my hair and put on my makeup because he would cut off the water. You know, for a year, the judge didn't make either one of us leave the house, and it was just destructive, very destructive.
So
he would turn off the water when I was supposed to use it.
Right. So let me just clarify here again, because I got confused. Mm-hmm. When you took this memoir course, you were already going through the divorce or not?
Yes, I was in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Correct. Yes.
So then I do want to back up for just a minute, because I think that there could be people listening that are going, okay, how did you decide? Like what made you finally decide to divorce him? Because he didn't bring it up, right? He's not the one who said, let's get divorced.
No.
He's all invested in this abusive relationship. So what happened there for you?
Well, I'll tell you the interesting story of that. So my daughter, it was when I discovered him advertising himself on Craigslist.
Oh, right.
So my daughter wanted to get on the computer, and I said, okay, sure. It was a laptop back then. This is like 9 years ago. And I, you know, had a password. So I helped her with the password, and she was 7 years old, and up popped his email, and it was a confirmation of him and his Craigslist posting. And I, just from reading just the first sentence and the headline, I knew immediately that it was something really bad. And it was himself advertising, you know, him as a sex toy.
As a sex toy, right.
And so I hurriedly scooched her out of the room really quickly and printed it off. And the next day I went to an attorney. I didn't talk to anybody about it, except for on the way home, I called my mom and I told her what had happened and that I had been to an attorney. And the attorney said, get the computer, take it to some forensic computer place, and they can verify that Craigslist posting came from that computer. They will do that. Make easy divorce, et cetera, custody battle, et cetera. So the following morning after that, I didn't get it right away. The following morning, I came downstairs to get it, and the whole computer was gone. Computer, printer, cables, everything.
Everything.
And that rocked me to my core. And I'm like, how in the world did he know that I was going to do that? And that's when he said, I'm going to take the house, I'm going to take the kids, I'm going to destroy you.
Oh my gosh.
And that's what started it.
And then at that point, you really went from an absolutely terrible relationship to a very horrific divorce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, it was a nightmare. Yes.
So now let's fast forward. Since we're already like halfway through the interview, let's fast forward to the memoir course. And, tell us, why did it change your life?
It changed my life because I would write all these crazy stories of all this strange, strange stuff. I mean, this is not stuff of everyday people, you know, experience. A lot more now than I realized than ever, but people didn't realize, you know, all those things that were happening, and I had to get them out. In fact, like I would call my mom, my older sister, my younger sister, and then my mom again, just to spread the wealth of all the crazy stuff. So none of them had to bear the whole thing of what was going on with me. And it was such a catharsis to write these stories. And I brought them every Friday. We all brought our stories and read them aloud, and they were fascinated. And to have someone else. Hold your story and not be critical about why didn't you get out earlier, not be shaming, but be supportive. Oh my goodness, that is such an amazing gift. And so I did that every Friday. They actually loved my story so much, they gave me a scholarship to come back the next semester.
Oh, wow. And so how long of a course was it?
It was a course of all spring. So I'm not sure if it was 12 weeks, maybe.
Okay, probably.
Yeah. And so I realized I was getting clear about, you know, my part in that, accepting that bad behavior all along for 10 years. I got clear about what I wanted to do from here on out. What I was feeling, when you find the words that for the, what's going on in your head and you put them down in black and white, that's where the transformation happens. Now, I discovered that naturally. Since then, I've done a lot of research on the art and the science of and the psychology of life storytelling and writing about the tough times and writing through the tough times and then about past tough times in your life. And there's a lot of science behind this. When you experience these things that I did, it was traumatic. They're traumatic experiences. They are actually stored in a different part of your brain than regular memories. Mm-hmm. And when you write them out and you find those words and you write it out, you are able to put them in the regular place where memories can just fade, like normal, right? They can't come back to hurt you.
Right.
So that's what I discovered organically. And then eventually did the research to find out, okay, this is a thing. I realize that is incredible health benefits. In fact, Dr. James Pennebaker from the University of Texas at Austin has done a lot of research. It actually boosts your immune system. Mm-hmm. It affects you physically when you write out about those traumas. Now, yes, it hurts. Yes, you have to find those words. And yes, you have to write out, you have to be honest with yourself. Okay, this actually happened, and you're embarrassed, right? You're ashamed that you're a part of it. I mean, I couldn't believe I was a professional woman going to a grocery store to wash my hair in the morning because I was unable to stop my husband from, you know, I was in this situation.
Right.
I felt bad that I was in that situation. I was embarrassed about, you know, the situation I was in, and writing about it helped me see, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I can do. And you just get so much clearer about, and I've had lots of people who have listened to my podcast and gone through the exercises that I take them through. And they're like, oh my goodness, the clarity that I gained about myself was invaluable. Mm-hmm. And I actually learned that my life theme to that date was not raising my hand, not in kindergarten, grade school, high school, young adult.
I can relate to that one.
Yeah, I didn't say that's not right. And so that's my part of it. I had to own up to that I didn't say, this is not a good relationship, or you shouldn't move in with me after 3 weeks. You know?
Right.
That's
right.
Not right. And so once I did, I was able to change my life theme. And that was incredibly powerful.
Yes, very much so. You know, there's so many little pieces here that I feel like I want to share because I want people to understand. It sounds to me like you were not raised in a home environment that was abusive. So this wasn't role modeled for you. That a lot of people will go on from a home life that is abusive into relationships that are, because they do think it's the norm and that's just the way things are. So, which also is part of why you're so embarrassed about what's going on, because it's like, this isn't normal. Mm-hmm. You know, this shouldn't be happening. And yet it happened so slowly, so naturally, that it feels kind of like you trapped yourself in it, like you somehow brought it on. So
sociopaths actually target intelligent women. I mean, that's the thing. You're like, you're an intelligent woman. How in the world did I get into this situation? And they actually target intelligent women. Now, I didn't grow up in an abusive home, but I did grow up in a home where you were, you know, not seen or heard, and you need to shut up and you sit down on that couch and, you know,
right.
And so
and
I was
sit down and listen taught, and don't raise your hand.
Exactly. Don't raise your hand.
Yeah.
And so, unfortunately that carried on into my adult life.
Right. Yeah. It was one of your pieces that you needed to overcome in this mm-hmm. lifetime. Exactly. And it took a pretty major situation for that to happen. So right. I'm a little torn because there's still so much to uncover there. And I think so many women find themselves in these kind of relationships that I would love to explore that further. And then on the flip side, I know we're quickly coming, running out of time. Right. And I really want to talk about the value of the memoir course. Mm-hmm. So if you can hear that in my voice, that's why I'm kind of vacillating back and forth.
Sure, sure.
But I love the idea, and maybe this is what we should do, is why don't we talk a bit about how a person, obviously now you've gotten to a place in your life where you have joy in your life, even mm-hmm. though you've gone through this incredibly tough situation. And to me, that's like the beacon of hope. That's the light that can guide other people to the course or to whatever, because it can make such a difference for you. It could probably make such a difference for them, right?
Absolutely, yes.
So maybe we could talk about that for a minute. I'm sure there's many listeners out there who feel right now like it's not even possible. Can you expand on how having gone through this memoir writing experience and what you do now has allowed you to actually find joy again and bring it into your life?
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. Once, like I said, clarity is one of the biggest benefits of writing about your life. So if you just start out, some people journal, that's okay. That's good. You can journal. But this is taking it a little bit deeper. This is actually writing out the sights, sounds, smells, the feelings, the touch, everything about a particular instance. And when you write that, you start bringing back those memories, especially if it's a past issue in your life, and you start to see with clarity what exactly happened. And when you look back, especially when things are in the past, you can look back with older, wiser eyes, and you can look back with compassion at the person you were. So when I was writing through my tough stuff, and I realized, I've had 10 years of emotional abuse, I was able to put a word to it and discover the word sociopath. We actually had psych evals for the divorce, and the psychiatrist said that's what he was. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's something I can Google, I can research, I can figure out what's going on. And, it's not just me. You're worried if you're, a person, a caring person, you're worried, is it me, And uh-huh. so I was able to discover that. But I was able to go back and think, man, the person that I was back then, I didn't have the tools, or I wasn't equipped to handle that. I get it that they are doing these underhanded things to hook you in. And you can look back with compassion with who you were and how you developed and how that came about. And not only that, but you can say, okay, here's how I want to be moving forward. Now I want to be a strong person. I want to be a person who's aware of the things going on around me and has an opinion about it, right? I want to be in more control of my life and not just let life happen to me. And each week when I brought stories, I was discovering that. And that's what life storytelling helps you do. It helps you more authentic. And I was always kind of embarrassed to be who I was. And, I was shy. I'm like, why did God make me such a shy person?
Right.
Without confidence, very little confidence in myself. And writing helps you discover the beautiful person that you really are. And that's what gives you the confidence to live a more joy-filled life after you write your life story.
Nice. I love this, the whole idea, the whole process. And I can certainly see why even a 12-week program wouldn't have even been long enough. But mm-hmm. It really does take time to do this, because you even need the time in between to process all that.
True.
That you've brought up.
Absolutely.
So from what I understand, this process helps a person uncover what really went on for them, mm-hmm. to be able to forgive the part of themselves that was that was involved in it to reconnect with their own source of resiliency, which is such an important piece. And I know that's something you specialize in.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of that. And then really to stand in their power and to figure out, okay, so here's the new me that I am becoming, and here's where I'm heading with this.
Right.
So I love it. So we are at the end of our time, but I really want people to know that you have webinars that you offer. It's a free monthly webinar, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And sorry, I was just going to, let me just give this quick piece and then you can talk again.
Sure.
Where you provide four simple proven methods to writing the first chapter of your life story in just 7 days. And hopefully people can recognize that this can make a huge change for you. This could be a huge starting point. So I'm going to give you the floor for about 30 seconds and then we have to sign off.
Perfect. I encourage everybody just to get started because everybody has a story to tell. You might not have the tragic story that I had or that someone else has, or you might feel like, man, all of these things have happened. I'm just a bad person or this is just my life. I would encourage everybody to, you know, hop on the webinar. It's at stacybrookman.com/webinar. It's free and you can just get started with the first chapter. And then I also give you the tools to take it to the second chapter and beyond if you choose to. The other thing is you don't ever have to publish. This is for you. You can if you want to share your story and help other women. But if you don't ever want to publish, you don't have to. It's still beneficial for you to write your story out.
Perfect. And you can also tune in to Stacey's podcast, Real Life Resilience Podcast. Stacey, thank you so much for coming, for sharing, for being so honest, and for shining that light for, even if it's just a few listeners who hear it and think, oh my gosh, you know, it's time for me to start making those changes. Thank you so much to our listeners. I so appreciate you. Please share with anyone you know who you feel might benefit in any way from today's or any of our shows. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Stacey Brookman, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.